Amen.
Amen. All right, we'll ask the grandparents and parents of that young man to stand up, if you would, please.
Yes.
All right, that's good. Son, appreciate it. Appreciate you taking a stand for the Lord. All right, is the internet on? Okay, we have some folks that watch us every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, lots of folks. But I know there's a man, a woman right now that's watching, Brother Rollin and his sister Joan Crow. They tune in every Sunday morning, every Sunday night. They thank me for the people that do the work, get the broadcast out. And so it's a blessing to them. So we just send this out to them and say, God bless you. We're glad you're watching today.
And,
you know, a lot of people don't know this, and I didn't know it myself till not too long ago, but they do make DVDs of the services, jubilees, all things like that. They have them. Most people don't request them because I guess some people don't know we have them. And then maybe you're like me. I'd rather, you know, have the CD where I can listen going up or down the road than have to sit down and watch it. But they do have them. If you want them, they're available. All right. Well, we appreciate that, what's been done this morning.
Amen.
If you have your Bible this morning, we want you to get your Bible and get it ready there. It's good to see Sister Donna out today, able to
Amen.
Be with us today.
Amen.
God bless you, Miss Donna. We hope the Lord blesses you today while you're able to be here this morning. Also, Miss Alla Terry, she's out at the ER today. Had a problem with blood pressure, had to go this morning, so remember that in prayer. All right, let's stand, if you would, please. Let's look at Acts chapter 5 this morning. The book of Acts chapter 5 this morning. We're going to read the first 11 verses today and do our best to try to say something out of this chapter that God's impressed upon our heart today. And we're going to read verses 1 through verse 11, and we'll read verse 3 together today. But a certain man named Ananias, and with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession, and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. Read this one together. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto man, but unto God. Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. A great fear came on all them that heard these things, and the young man arose and wound him up and carried him out and buried him. It was about the space of 3 hours after that his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. And then Peter said unto her, how is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of him which hath buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out. Then she fell down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young man came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. Thank you. Be seated, our Father, we come this morning. We thank you for it. Lord, let us wake up this morning being able to get up and get out. And I'm thankful, Lord, that you put in my heart today of all the places that we could go today. We're thankful that the one place we wanted to go today was to the church. And Lord, we pray this morning that as we gathered in here today, and Lord, we've had singing about you. Lord, we've had a young man stand up and read, Lord, about you as the creator, the creation. And we thank you for that. And now, Lord, we come to these 11 verses of the Word of God that we feel, Lord, that you directed us to for this morning's service. I don't know what you're going to do with it. I don't know how you're going to use it. But I just know this is what you want me to preach this morning. And I pray you'll help me, Lord, to do that. Give us liberty, Lord, that you will strengthen and help us today. I pray you'd bless us body, soul, and spirit today. And we do pray, Lord, for those mingled among us today. They're not saved. And Lord, we do pray today, Father, for those that are saved, but Lord, are cold and indifferent. And I thank you they're here today, and I pray you'd warm their heart, challenge their heart through the Word of God. Bless this church, Lord, I pray that it would be pleasing in your sight. And doesn't matter what the world thinks, but Lord, we want to be pleasing in your sight. And I pray that also for the preacher today. Forgive me of my sins and failures. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, last week, if you were here, I preached on the withered up church member out of Mark chapter 2. And today, we look in here in the book of Acts this morning. And, of course, the Acts, some say it's the Acts of the Holy Spirit. It no doubt is the Acts of the early church. But no doubt, the early church is just getting started. And it's off to a great start. In Acts 1 and 14, 120 people met, men and women, the apostles. They met up there. They had a great prayer meeting. We had a great prayer meeting last night. Some folks, men gather here each Saturday night about 8 o'clock, and we have good fellowship and we have good prayer. And the Lord met with us last night. But they had a great prayer meeting, and 120 people, men and women, met up there, and they prayed for 10 days. Can you imagine meeting and praying for 10 days? Can you imagine the atmosphere this morning if we had all been shut up, 120 people praying for 10 days, and all in one accord, and all of us got our sins under the blood and everything right? Can you imagine the atmosphere this morning of what it would be like? They had a great prayer meeting. After that great prayer meeting in Acts chapter 2, a great person showed up. The Bible said there came a sound like a mighty rushing wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. That would be the person of the Holy Ghost of God. Jesus had said for them to stay there 10 days and not to leave, not to do anything until that he came. And in Acts 2, he did come. And he's a great person. Oftentimes we neglect to think about him. Now, he doesn't want to be in the forefront. He wants Christ to be the preeminent place. But he is the third person of the Godhead. He is part of the Trinity. And he can be lied to. He can be done despite to. He can be quenched. All these things because he is a person, but he showed up. After he showed up in Acts 2, verse 14, a preacher stood up. And the Bible said he lifted up his voice. Somebody said, I don't like loud preaching. Well, you wouldn't like him. The Bible said he stood up with a loud voice. You wouldn't like Isaiah either because he said, lift up your voice like a trumpet. Let my people know about their sins. But he stood up and he preached a great sermon. He preached about the death of Christ, the resurrection of Christ. And it got great results. 3,000 people got saved, the Bible says. And that's wonderful. Amen. And then in Acts 3, and all through there about verse 8, there was a great power, a great miracle took place. A man laid at the gate, couldn't walk. And the Bible said as they went in, he begged alms of them. And they said, silver and gold we have none, but such as we have we give unto you. In the name of Jesus, arise and walk. And the Bible said he received strength in his ankles, and he rose up and he went leaping and jumping into the temple of God. And there was a great power that took place. Well, with all this that has happened already, in Acts 4 and verse 13, the Bible said the early church had great boldness. The Bible said they perceived they'd been with Jesus, and they wasn't afraid of the townspeople. They wasn't afraid of those religious hierarchies. They really wasn't afraid of anybody. They had a great boldness about them.
Right.
The Bible said the righteous are as bold as a lion, but the wicked flee when no man pursueth, the Bible said. So there was a great boldness there.
Amen.
But 39 years later, after the death of Christ, there was two church members that told a great lie. Great lie.
Yeah.
And then I want to preach about this. I want to preach on two lying church members.
Amen.
My, what a time. In an age where that you're supposed to make people feel good and tell them good things about yourself,
listen, Lord,
not offend nobody. My, what a time. Two lying church members.
Amen, Brother Rick.
Well, we know this in the church, amen. And I ain't making it up. They lied. They lied. And you know, Brother Eddie, this is the first mention of trouble in the church within. Within the church. This is the first mention of it in the church. And God recorded it for us. He wanted us to know about it. And the first trouble in the church came from the tongue.
Right.
Hallelujah. James 3 said, "Be not many masters, knowing we'll receive the greater condemnation."
That's right.
"For if any man offend not in tongue," he said, "he's a perfect man." And the Bible said, "able to bridle the whole body." Said, "Behold, the horses, we put bits in the horses' mouth that we might turn them about."
Right.
He said, "Behold, the ships, though they be so great, are driven of fierce winds, yet they turneth about with such a small helm, wheresoever the governor listeth. Even so is the tongue little among our members, yet it boasteth great things." "Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth." The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity sets on fire. The course of nature is set on fire, the course of hell. And he said, "Every beast and bird and serpent and things of the sea have been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame." It's an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God the Father, and curse we men made in the similitude of God. My brother, these things ought not so to be. They ought not, but they are. Now, I want to look here this morning at just what the Bible records about these two lying church members this morning, and I want to look here at first of all the cause of these two lying church members. Why did they do it? Why did they lie? Well, we don't have to guess about that one. Verse 3 says, "And Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost?" Well, here's their answer right here. Here's what made them lie, and here's what made every church member after them lie. Bible said that Satan had filled their heart. That Satan had made them lie. You know what the Bible says about Satan? The Bible said he was a liar from the beginning. He spoke not the truth. And when he speaketh of a lie, he speaketh of his own. Because he is a liar. The first lie that was ever told, the devil told him. He came into the garden there in Genesis 3. He came in and he told Eve, he said, surely you won't die. Surely thou shalt not die. Did she die? All right, he lied, didn't he? See, the devil is a liar. He's kind of like they said, about these, a lot of people, they said, how you can tell when he's lying? They said, how's that? They said, when his lips move. That's the way it is with the devil. He might give you a little truth. He'll take a little truth and stuff it with a lie, just enough to make you, maybe believe the lie. But the devil is a liar. He came into the garden by the first time he came in. He came in with a lie. And can I tell you, the first time he comes into the church, he come into the church with what? With a lie. The Bible said he tempted these two people He tempted them to lie, and the Bible said he did. Amen. And then we see this. I think they lied because the devil moved them to lie, and he'll do that. God don't ever move you to lie. The Holy Ghost don't ever move you to lie. If I lie or you lie, it's not God. It's not Jesus, it's not the Holy Ghost, it's the devil, it's demonic spirits, it's my own flesh, but we can't blame it on God. Now the Bible said that what brought all this about in the fourth chapter, a good man, a good church member by the name of Barnabas, the Bible said in verse 36 that he was a son of a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, and verse 37 said, having land, he sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now, we know back in chapter 2 and verse 42, it's talking about the early church, and it said they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, breaking of bread and prayers, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And watch this, and all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had the need. Now, that's how it started out. It didn't work too well, and so it kind of died out as the church went on. But we see that Barnabas was a good man. You check him out, and he's a good man. He's full of the Holy Ghost and brings a lot of people to the Lord, and he's a good church member. Thank God there is something like that. And the Bible said he sold some land, and he brought the money, and he laid it at the apostles' feet. Now, this seemed to be the way they done it. They sold it. They brought it to the apostles. They were the leaders. They were the ones in authority there. And they would bring it, and they would lay it at the apostles' feet. And then they would distribute it out as to where it needed to go. So it looks like not only was Satan the cause of it, but I believe that maybe sinful pride was the cause of it. You know, it may be the reason we don't do it like that no more. Because some people would like to come up and lay what they give down and want everybody to see what they give, want everybody to know what they've done. And I don't believe that was the case with Barnabas, but I do believe it was the case with Ananias and Sapphira. I believe there's a great difference in their heart, Brother Eddie. I believe Barnabas' heart was where it needed to be. He was right with God. But I believe that Ananias and Sapphira, obviously their heart is not where it needs to be. And I tell you, beloved, whether it's you or me, anytime we want somebody to see what we give or what we do, our heart is not right with God. The Bible says that, you know, what we're to do, all unto the glory of God. Now, I know there's times that it can't be that way. I understand that. And it's not actually a matter of doing it. It's a matter of the heart and the condition of the heart. Some people, you know, it's all right to get up and tell, as a brother did this morning, about planting that seed about praying over that seed. And I do emphasize the praying. I'm glad he brought that in this morning. I prayed for the Holy Ghost, brought it to remembrance. Every time I prayed for this young lady. I tell you, there's more to passing out tracts than passing out tracts. We ought to pray over that seed that's planted. And there's nothing wrong with standing up like he did today and giving that little testimony, and I tell you, that kind of fired me up a little bit. That kind of made me think, you know, hey, that's why we need to do this. We need to witness and pray and seek to tell people about the Lord. I like something else about that. It wasn't a big sounding thing, you know. He just said, I just in passing just talked to her, said a word to her. You know, kind of like that little maid over in 2 Kings 5. That all she said was to Naaman the leopard. I just wished he knew my Lord. He could do something for him. That's all he said. It don't take much to get the ball rolling. God will take it over. If you and I, you don't have to be a theologian. You don't have to be a Bible scholar. You just got to know you're saved. And tell people about that. Tell them about the Lord. He can take it from there. Amen. But I believe there was some sinful pride and part of this that caused them to lie. So we got Satan. We got sinful pride. But then I want you to look here at what we read, verse 36 and 37. And I just believe that there was some jealousy there. Amen. Here was Barnabas that brought this, and maybe folks are saying, boy, Barnabas, you know, he sold a part of land there, and he brought it all to the Lord, and everybody's talking about Barnabas, and jealousy's a terrible thing. It really is. We all deal with it. We all have somewhat of it. It's just part of this old Adamic nature. It's not of God. Now, there is a godly jealousy that God has, and that's different from the sinful jealousy that sometimes we have. You know how it is. Somebody gets up and they sing, and folks talking about them more than are you. You know how it is this morning, how that sometimes you know, folks get up and teach, and folks are talking about them more than are you, or folks get up to preach, or whatever it is, you know, and that old thing of jealousy wells up in you. You know, we all deal with it. I tell you, the way to handle that thing is it whatever you're jealous about. If they're saying something about John and you're jealous about John, well, the way you do that is you just say, yeah, John is good. He's great. I've never heard anybody as good as John, and he's good, and just get on board with him. Amen. Don't let the devil sew you up and make you mad. Hey, I got news for you. There ain't none of us great. There's only one good. There's only one great. And I know who he is. It's good to exhort the brother a little bit when they do a good job. They pray. They put their study time in. They're doing the will of God. It's good to exhort the brother a little bit. But I believe, Brother Eddie, I believe what was happening here, I believe that they were a little bit jealous, and they wanted the praise of Barnabas, but they didn't really want to give what Barnabas had give. And you see, there's a lot of folks that want the position, the prestige, the all that somebody else has, but they're not willing to give what that individual has given. And so we see here the cause of their lying: Satan, sinful pride, so much jealousy there within the early church. Well, when you read Corinthians and you read Acts, I tell you, you feel a little bit better about your home church. You see, they had a lot of the same problems we have today. You see, there really has never been no perfect church, and there never will. Amen. You don't look for a perfect church. You just look for the one that's the perfect will of God for you to be in. And then you get in that church, and you won't agree with everybody. You won't like everybody. Everybody won't like you. Everybody won't agree with you. You just won't do that because that's just the way human nature and people are. But you see, you don't get in there to straighten everybody else out. You don't get in there to run everybody else down. You just take your place beside the rest of the bloody sinners that Christ died for on the cross of Calvary. You just get armed up with them, you don't worry about John. God will take care of John. John 21, you just get in there and march to your order. I march to your commander-in-chief. And I'll tell you, one of these days, God's going to reward us all. God's going to bless us all. God's going to help us all. Amen. I'll tell you, God will do it. Because he's promised that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Amen.
Good preaching, Brother Rick.
What a text. Two glad church members.
Yeah.
Oh, me. In the Bible, you know, we're told the conversation of these two lying church members. Now, the question always comes up when a church member does something that's not right.
Bless him, Lord. Yeah.
Whether it's lying or stealing, adultery, getting drunk,
right,
cussing. You say, all church members wouldn't do any of that, would they?
They do it all.
Yeah. Right.
They do it all.
Bless him, Lord.
Right.
See, the problem comes up is when that you and I forget where we come from. The problem comes that arises is when we get to singing a little bit, going to church a little bit, knowing a little bit of the Bible.
Amen.
We forget that we're still in this sinful body. Amen.
Amen.
And we still got a devil out there.
Oh, yeah.
Can't do a thing about my salvation.
Yeah, that's right.
But he's evermore trying to work through my flesh. Trying to get me something that'll disgust me and disgust you and disgust others and hurt my testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, but the question always comes up when a Christian, when a church member does something they shouldn't do, the first words out of some saint's mouth is, you reckon there's really saved? You reckon there's really saved when they told that lie? You reckon there's really saved when they cuss? They cuss.
Not be so.
Brother Bill was telling me this morning. He said, I got a sore foot. I said, what happened? He said, I got up, I guess in the night, and he stuffed his foot on a table or bedpost or something like that. I said, that'll test you, Christianity.
Amen.
Even though you're saved, it still hurts. Still hurts.
Yeah.
You ain't forgot all them bad words. You're like the little boy come down the road with a lawnmower, Brother Eddie. And he come up on a preacher there, and he said, you need a lawnmower? He said, what do you want for it? He said, I want a dollar for it. He said, does it run good? And he said, yeah. He sold it to him for a dollar. He come back, and the preacher the next day was pulling that lawnmower. He was sweating. Sweat was dripping off of him. His shirt was wringing wet. He was pulling that lawnmower. And that little boy, he come down through there, and he said, hey, boy. He said, I thought you said this lawnmower. I thought you said it runs. He said, it does. He said, it does run. He said, I tell you what, I pulled this thing so much. He said, I could almost cuss. He said, I've forgotten the cuss words. He said, keep pulling that rope. They'll come back to you. You ain't forgotten.
Right. Amen.
Amen. We're still dealing with that. And so the question always comes up, you reckon there's really saved? Well, let me ask you a question. When you told that lie, you reckon you was really saved?
Amen, brother.
Amen.
Good preacher.
Yeah.
You really was? I don't know if it was or not. I have believe it was.
Amen.
You say, why do you believe it was? Because God killed him.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
Right.
Romans 6.
Because God was chasing them and it didn't take long to do it. There's a reason for that. But I believe it was. But you see, what did they talk about? Well, what did they lie about? Well, I tell you what some Christians lie about. And I'm not one to make you doubt. The devil, I don't want to work for him. He does enough of that. I don't want to make you doubt. But I do know that from the testimony of people that stood in this pulpit, sat in my office, I've been across the country. I do know that people that are not really saved, they'll lie about their salvation.
Right.
They know they're not saved. But they'll keep on saying, Brother Eddie, that they are saved. Now the Bible said there's going to be something like that.
Yes.
And I always want to take in consideration. I want to preach it right and put it in the right context. And the Bible says here at the end, at the straight gate, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in therein. He said, straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. He said, beware of false prophets. They'll come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're raving wolves. He said, by their fruits you'll know. And this follows after that. It says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not cast out devils? Have we not done many great works in thy name? And the Lord said, I'll say to them on that day, depart from me, I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. Someone said, you think they're saved and then they lost it? No, he said he never knew. I'll tell you, if he ever knows you, he'll always know you. And if you ever really get it, you never will lose it. I just make sure you really got it and make your calling and election sure.
Amen, brother.
But sometimes church members lie about their salvation living.
Right.
You see, the reason some church members can't never live the Christian life is because they're not a Christian.
Amen.
Amen, brother.
Amen.
Yes, they don't want to come to church. They don't like church. They don't want to read the Bible.
Yeah.
They don't want to witness to other people. They don't want to give to the work of God. They don't want to pray for missionaries. There's a reason they don't want to do that.
Right.
You're not a Christian.
Right.
So you cannot live what you do not have.
Yeah,
and so sometimes people lie about their salvation. And we know for sure, according to verse 2, the Bible said they kept back part of the price.
Right.
We know for sure, Brother Eddie, that if they lied about what they sold or what they gave to the Lord.
Yeah, amen.
They said, we give it all. But they lied because the Bible said they held back part of that. They didn't really give what they said they give. Amen. Some Christians, they lie about their tithing.
Right.
Maybe they don't know better. I don't know. Maybe they say, well, I tithe. What they mean is if they give a certain amount, $5 or $1, $10 or $15 a week, they think they're tithing. Now, that is giving. That's not tithing.
Right.
The Bible said that tithing is giving the Lord 10%.
That's true. Right.
You say, yeah, but that's in the law. Abraham tithed before the law.
Right. Yeah.
And Mays Jackson said he was called Abram until he started tithing. And after he started tithing, God put some ham on his name and started calling him Abraham.
Yeah.
But what do you do or don't? Ain't no use lying about it.
Right.
If you're saved or not saved, ain't no use of lying about it.
Right.
And then because of what they said in Acts 5 and 8, now Ananias is done dead. The Bible said he'd already fell down. He'd already gave up the ghost. And the Bible said they wound him up.
Right.
Yeah.
That's where we get that saying. We say, well, they're wound up.
Yeah.
So all of them, winding them up.
Yeah.
Tom Tuggle, of all the preachers I ever met, Brother Tom Tuggle preached more about tithing than anybody I ever met in my life. He had about 25 outline books, and every one of them's got a point on tithing. If he's preaching on the hell, he's got a point in there about tithing. He told me one time, said, they got a saying about me around here, Brother Rick. I said, what's that? He said, if your kid swallows a quarter, said, don't take him to the verse room, take him to Tuggle, he can get money out of anybody. But it worked. His missionary outreach, his church, run about 60 people in his church. His church offerings for the week revealed that God had blessed him because he did teach it, because it is in the Bible, because it is. I know people get mad when you talk about it, mention it, and get upset about it, and they say you're preaching for money and all that. Don't bother me a bit. Say what you want. It don't bother me a bit. I just keep on preaching the Word of God. Amen. I want you to know this morning, listen, that it's God's way of blessing you.
Right.
Amen.
Honor Him. He'll honor you.
If you give to God, God will meet your needs.
Well,
I'm not a televangelist. I'm not a prosperity preacher. I'm not that at all. I just know that over the years, Brother Lance, God has blessed my needs.
Yeah.
Sometimes through His church, sometimes through His people. But I want to say this, that since I've been serving God sincerely and doing what's right, I want you to know that every bit of help I've got for the last 35 years has come through God's people or God's church. Every bit of it. There's some folks I run into about a year ago. And they, one of them said, preacher, he said, if you ever need any work done on your car, he said, let me know, I'll do it. He said, God's blessed me with a big place up in Louisville. And he said, if you ever need any work, let me know. He said, I like to help preachers. Well, I never did call him. They contacted me three or four times, and I never did do anything. And he called me the other day, about 3 weeks ago. He said, hey, preacher, do you need anything on your car? And I said, well, I did notice my brakes were scrubbing a little bit during that snow. He said, bring it up here. I'd love to fix it for you. He said, He said, write down a list of anything you needs fixed, and I'll fix it for you. So I got up, drove to Louisville, Kentucky, pulled in there to his place, a wonderful place. Had about, I don't know, 8 or 10 bays for cars to be worked on, about 16 people working for him. I walked in and gospel music was playing. A stand sitting in the middle there with a King James Bible. Two men and women, or they was three sisters there. I'd say, well, it was a mother, probably 90, and then three of her girls. I sat down there with them after I talked to him. They got to tell me about when they got saved. They got to tell me about what the Holy Ghost had done for them and how they got saved. I got blessed. This old boy come in there. I perceived that he wasn't a Christian. And I got up, got to witnessing, talking to him. I tell you, there's better atmosphere in that garage than it is this church.
Amen, Brother Rick.
He come out and he said, "Preacher." And I really thought on the way up there, I thought, I'm going to get up there and there ain't going to be nothing wrong with these brakes. And he come in there and he said, "Preacher," and sit down by me. He said, "Preacher, your brakes are shot." I said, "You're kidding me." He said, "No." He said, "You got two wheel cylinders leaking." He said, "You got a brake pad that's got a hole worn plumb through it." He said, "You need rotors turned." And he said, "Your brakes are shot." He said, "It's going to take a while to do that, but we want to do it for you." And I said, "All right." I sat there about 9 o'clock till about 5 that evening. He come back out about 5, had the truck pulled around there. And he come over there and he said, "Here's your keys, preacher." And he said, "You don't owe me nothing." And he said, "We got your truck in there, so we put new brakes on it." He said, "We balanced all the tires. We lined up the front end. We put a serpentine belt on it for you." He said he had a ball joint that was bad. And he said, I can't remember the rest, he said. But he said, "That is, preacher, it lasts a long time."
Try to improve.
I left Monday on my way to leave. Phone rung. It's him again. He said, "Hey, preacher." I said, "Yeah." He said, "You know, you got a tailpipe that's bad, muffler bad. Get that back up here. I want to fix that for you. And I want to put a new gas line on it for you." You say, "What is it?" God will take care of it.
Yeah.
It don't always work that way. I figured about $2,000 more worth of work that God done on my truck.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's right.
You say, "What do you say that for?" I'm just saying, I'm trying to help you folks. God's not trying to steal from you. God's not trying to take all your money away. God just wants what's His, and then God will bless the other 90% you're left with. God will bless that to you. Amen. That's what I'm saying this morning. So we come in, and her husband's already dead. Now she comes in after. You say, "Why?" It's his wife. Did the wife always lay?
Yeah.
I mean, is your wife ever out there in the car saying, "Honk, honk, 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 come on, come on"? Yeah. It's never that way. It's always
right there.
It's always the husband that's out there blowing the horn, amen.
Amen.
Mad by the time she gets out in the car, you ain't even fit to go to church. But she comes in, and I believe this was her chance. I believe God was extending some grace to her.
It's good.
And the Bible said she come in and Peter said to her there, she must have inquired, you know. She must have inquired because this was premeditated lying. You say, "What do you mean they got it together before they ever got to church?" You know, like they do in these Baptist business meetings.
In private.
But they got it together and they said, "You say this and I'll say this, and we'll get rid of that preacher." They're premeditated lying.
Right.
And she come in and evidently she must have said, "Well, has Ananias been here yet and gave our gift?" And Peter said, "He sure has." And he said, "Did you sell the land for so much?" And she said, "Yes, for so much." She lied. She lied. And I believe if she had told the truth and said, "No, me and my husband got this together. We were presenting something that wasn't really that way," and fell down and start crying. I believe she had kept on living. I don't believe God would have killed her if she'd have done that. God always gives a little space there for you to do the right thing before he winds you up and they carry you out. Amen. That's what I'm saying this morning. But the Bible says that she had a chance and she said yay for so much. She lied. These two church members, they lied, the Bible said. They both said the same thing.
Amen.
Amen.
So we have the cause of these lying church members and the conversation of these lying church members. Let's look at the conclusion of these lying church members. Now, you do know God's going to use us all.
Right.
If you live for God and be faithful, you'll stumble and fall, but confess your sins, getting up, keep going on with God.
That's right.
Be faithful in church, living for the Lord, trying to do what's right.
That's right.
Do what you can. If you do that, God's going to use you.
Yeah, he will.
God's going to use you for an example.
Right.
God's going to use you for an example to somebody.
That's right.
And God's going to use you for a good example.
Right.
Amen. Somebody else may use you. They may talk about how faithful you was or how you loved the Lord or all of that. You know, you're going to be an example that somebody will use. I know this morning that this young lady, I know she used to go to Shiloh Church. And I used to preach some at Shiloh years ago, a couple of revivals. And I remember she's long in heaven now. But there was an older lady there that came to that revival. And, you know, she just knew God. You could tell that she knew God.
Amen.
Yeah.
You could tell she lived for God, walked with God. Just an older lady. And I said something about it after about three or four nights of revival. I said something about that lady. And the preacher said, you know what? He said, that's the faithfulest lady in this church. He said she never misses church. Said she always comes to church. He said one Sunday there come a big snow and we went ahead and had church and said some of us men were standing out on the porch, standing out there, and said we were talking, and one of them said to the other, said, I bet your sister so and so she won't make it to church today. And he said, the other said, yeah, and we laughed about it. And so about that time we heard in the distance something sound like a tractor. And said, here she turned and come in. And on her husband's John Deere tractor and rode up to the house of God. And here I am still talking about it today. I'm saying God is going to use you for an example if you live for God.
Amen.
Listen, Brother Rick. You see, I said God's going to use us all.
Right.
You know, if you can't be used that way, God will use you as a sermon illustration.
Yes. Right.
Yeah, man.
You don't get right with God, some preacher will stand up and tell about how you came to this church, you got out, you went away from the Lord, you thought you was going to get by with it for a while, but one day he that being author reprimed the heart of the stand was suddenly destroyed without remedy, and some preacher will stand up and use you as a sermon illustration. I tell you, listen, God's going to use us one way or the other, and I don't want to be used as a good sermon illustration. I don't want to be used of the illustration of what happens when a backslider backslides and gets out of God's will and won't repent, and God has to kill him. Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Now, God will use you. Let me just say, stop right here and say this. You and I had better fear the Lord.
That's right, brother.
Yeah.
That's right. That's the healthiest thing you can do.
Yeah.
But tell you, don't just forget about ISIS.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Right.
Just forget about Obama. I wish to God I could.
Yeah.
Just forget about all that.
Yeah.
Just be afraid of God.
Yeah, man.
Amen. Right.
Don't be afraid of your wife.
Yeah. Right.
Don't be afraid of your husband.
Right.
Don't be afraid of your kids. Don't be afraid of the church members. Don't be afraid of the preacher.
Right.
You're right. Amen.
Amen.
You're right.
Just be afraid of God.
Amen.
Amen.
Don't do right because of Brother Rick. Do right because of God.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
That's the one you got to answer to.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Do right. Now, here's three things I want to leave you with today. It comes out of this sermon about lying church members, two lying church members. First thing I want us to notice here, make note of, is that lying is unprofitable.
Amen.
Right.
Look at verse 2. It kept back part of the price.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Did it do them any good? Did they take it with them?
No.
That's good, Brother Rick. Did they get to spend? That's good, brother. That's good.
They didn't profit one bit.
That's right.
Right.
Would have been better if they gave it to God.
Yes.
Yeah.
Amen.
You see, we read some more about Barnabas all the way through Acts.
Right.
We don't need to read any more about them.
That's right.
Right.
But I'm saying that lines like every other sin, it's never profitable.
That's right.
Amen.
It might be for a little while, but you mark this down. No man, no woman, no boy, no girl ever makes a complete success of sin.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Yes.
Never.
Right.
One season.
It's unprofitable. Let me say this. Look at verse 4. This is the preacher talking. He said, while it remained, he said, why did you lie? While it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thy heart? It was unnecessary.
Right.
Amen.
You see, he wouldn't. Nobody said you've got to give it all.
Right. 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 Amen.
Right.
Nobody said that you got to sell your land and you got to give it all to God.
Right.
They were doing that, but nobody said it.
Right.
They didn't have to do it.
That's right.
You don't have the time.
True.
Right.
You don't have time. Most people don't.
True. Right.
You don't have to do it.
Amen.
And they didn't have to lie because Peter said it was yours.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
You didn't even have to sell it. It was yours. You could have kept it.
Right.
And he said, even after you sold it, he said, you didn't have to give any of it. He said, you could have kept it all.
Right.
That's good preaching, Brother Rick.
Yeah.
Man,
that'd been better than lying.
That's right.
Amen.
You see?
Yeah.
It was unnecessary. Lying's always unnecessary.
Right.
Man.
Amen.
Amen.
You're right.
Amen.
Amen.
Sometimes it hurts to tell the truth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes it makes people mad for you to tell the truth.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes it hurts people's feelings when you tell the truth.
Right, that's true.
Right.
But God says, thou shalt not lie.
Yeah.
And it's never, it's always unnecessary to lie.
Amen.
Right.
Then let me say this, that in their case, the lying is unrepentant.
Mm.
Ananias, hearing these words, fell down.
Oh, me.
Verse 10, then she fell down straightway.
That's right.
Right.
So we've always got in our mind this concept.
That's right.
That we can just keep on sinning and God will just keep on letting us get by with it.
What Samson said.
Yeah.
Well, that was
other. Us Baptist grace people, eternally saved people, we just somehow or another in our mind, we just got it in our mind, I'll keep on cussing, I'll keep on drinking, I'll keep on lying. I'll keep on doing whatever I do. I'm saved and God's going to let me get by with it.
Oh, me.
Now, I will say this morning. I believe the reason God did what he did here is because the church just started out.
Yes.
Yeah.
It just wouldn't do to have this corruption get started this early.
Amen.
Right. Amen.
In the work of God.
Amen.
Don't need it today.
Yeah.
Amen. No, sir. We don't even need it today.
Right. Amen.
Amen.
But we see here, in the Bible that they had no space to repent.
Right.
Let me ask you something this morning. Suppose you're here today and you're not saved.
Blessing.
Who knows if you'll be the next one to drop dead in the floor.
Yeah, think about it.
Yeah.
That's right, think about it.
God has granted you a big space of repentance, but who knows if you're right there to the end of that space.
That's right.
The day might be your last day.
Yeah, place has come out.
Suppose that you say, I'm saved, but I'm backslid, I'm away from God, and I need to really get some things under the blood and get right with God and forgive some people, ask God to forgive me. I really need to do that. But you don't feel an urgency about it. But what if today? What if today?
Yeah, mm. Right.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right.
On the way home, you met somebody head on, or they met you head on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Brother Bill and Sister Mary's son-in-law's sister. What if?
Yeah.
Like Brother David's sister-in-law. She didn't die, but she started the church last Sunday night, and she's one of the sweetest Christian ladies I ever met in my entire life. And she started church last Sunday night, and an accident happened. They hit almost head on, and she's in Vanderbilt this morning. Please pray for her. But she's there in Vanderbilt. But we never know.
Right.
When it's a sin we carry in our life right now may become unrepented because it'll be our last time.
Yes. Amen.
Amen, Brother Rick.
Now, last thing I want to leave you with about these two lying church members.
Sin unto death.
When people lie about salvation, when people lie about giving, or when people lie, you know, about whatever it is, exaggerate our work for God or whatever we're doing, I want you to look at verse 4 and look what the preacher told him after the question mark. Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God.
Amen.
That's it.
That's all of it right there.
That's all of it, ain't it?
Amen.
That's a clincher right there.
Yeah.
You see, we somehow get it in our mind, I'm lying to the preacher, or I'm lying to my husband, I'm lying to my wife, I'm lying to the kids, I'm lying to mother, I'm lying to father.
No.
But when it's about these things here, brother,
yeah.
He said, you've not lied to men, you've not lied to the preacher. He said, you've lied to God.
Yes. Amen.
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 And God hates lying.
Amen. That's right.
Father, I thank you this morning, Lord, for the Word of God. The Bible says it makes us thoroughly furnished unto every good work. The Bible said we're to take the Word of God and preach it. And when we do that, it'll be, Lord, it'll be a reproof, instruction in righteousness, a rebuke. Lord, we just ask today you'll take the Word of God, and as I pondered over this message, Lord, and mused upon the Word of God in my heart, Lord, I thought, Lord, that how would you use this? And I still don't know how that God would use this, but I do know it's the Word of God. I do know it's true. And I do know it applies to our life. Help us today, Lord, to remember what David said when he had got away from God and committed adultery and murder, fell into great sin. He went to the Lord and he said, Lord, I know you desire truth in the inward parts. God wants us to be true in our inward parts. Six things do the Lord hate. Yea, seven is an abomination. I believe the first one is a lying tongue. God, help us this morning to live for you and keep our sin under the blood. And Lord, realize, help us to remember who we are and where we come from. Help us remember that apart from the blood of Christ and the salvation of Jesus on the cross, who died for our sins and him rising from the grave after the third day, except for that, we'd just be a bunch of sinners either headed to hell or burning and screaming into hell this morning. Or if there's somebody here today who's been lying to God about salvation, oh God, may they realize that it's not worth it. Just tell the truth. Just say, I know I'm not saved, and get down to the altar and ask the God of heaven that will save them to do it. Help them not make you a liar by saying God won't do it when you will. You promised you would. Lord, just have your way. Do what you would and could, Lord, in this service today. We'll give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's stand today, if you would, please. Let's come today. God may be dealing with you about something today. How to do it. Subject matter, but you may need to come today. Let's do it today.
119. Yeah. Appreciate what I've heard and felt today. Just been blessed today. Thank the Lord.
Amen, brother. God bless you. All right, anybody else today? Word for the Lord today.
I got a lot for the Lord today.
Amen, Sister Dr. Hart.
God bless you. Thank the Lord every day.
Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord.
I don't know why I don't have a strength.
Bless my sister, Lord. Renew her like
that. I lay in my bed this morning at 8 o'clock and I just don't think I can do it, Lord. I just don't think I can get drink.
Bless.
9 o'clock come and I woke back up and I said, Lord, please forgive me. I just don't think I can get my clothes on. 10 o'clock rolled around. And I called my mama and I said, Mama, please. Please come and help me get ready for a church.
Bless you, Sister Donna. God bless you.
This message has been such a blessing. I know the Lord carries me every day. Because I don't function like I used to. I don't understand why. I don't know what I'm doing wrong.
Nothing wrong.
I don't know if I'm not praying enough or reading my Bible enough or what. I wish He would show me so I could fix it. I want to fix it. I'm not healthy for my child, but I tell you what, without His mercy and His grace, I wouldn't be here today. Because He's good to me. He makes sure that I get by. He carries me one day at a time. That's what my life is. One day at a time.
Yes.
And I love Him for that.
Amen.
And I know He's going to carry me.
Sweetest praise.
If it's a million days from now till it's my number.
Amen.
I tell you right now, I wish it was my number right now. I would go in an army and leave my 10-year-old with someone that could take care of her, because I can't. That's the hardest thing, is not being able to do for her, not being able to just sit around the house while I sleep and rest. Sleep and rest. But I know God's going to answer for that.
That's your man. Sure is.
But I'm ready. If He took me right now today, I'm ready to go on.
Amen.
I love my Lord Jesus, and I thank
Amen,
Him for
Sister
being
Donna.
So good to me. Thank Him for Boy. My church family.
That's pure praise.
Hundreds of cards I have gotten from people just over and over. Miss Alice, she's the best thing in the world about sending out cards. And I love her dearly. I just love my church. I miss it.
Amen, Sister Donna.
Just most of all.
Amen.
I love my Lord and Savior.
Amen.
Thank Him for your giving praise. Me this far.
Amen.
Your first daughter, bless your heart.
Amen. Amen.
Brother Rick.
Amen, yes.
I'd like to lay the charge where the charge should be.
Listen.
If you're a child of God trying to do God's work, it's not Him punishing you, it's Satan.
Oh, yeah.
And every time I've ever been chastised from God, I knew it right then. Sure. I didn't have to say, I don't understand. God bless her. I understand. Oh, Satan's trying to turn you away from the true and living God, and I know He's not going to get that job done with her. Amen.
Well, I guess anybody went through any more than Job did other than the Lord.
Right.
The Bible said He's a perfect, upright man.
Right.
I don't try to play God and tell people why things happen. I let the Lord explain that when they get home.
Amen, brother.
You won't have to.
Amen.
The road see nothing when we come with anybody.
Right.
That's right.
And I reckon the suffering of this present world will not be able to be compared with the glory that's going to be revealed. Although I do know one thing, that Donna did wrong. The one thing we all go wrong, we got born into a world under a curse.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, we got an option.
Amen.
Thank God
to that.
We had a Savior.
Woo!
That took the curse for us.
Amen, brother.
And one day He's going to remove the curse.
Yes.
Woo!
Amen. All right. Turn around and shake somebody's hand today. God bless you. You're free to go. Church tonight at 6 o'clock tonight.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Good job.